Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of the Shuttlepod Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about our predictions for Star Trek Beyond. What do we expect to see on the screen when the movie comes out next week? I am Kaylee Iacovino, and I am joined by...
Jared Whitley.
This is Brian Drew.
And this is John Duchak.
And we want to say a very special hello to John Duchak, who's joining us on the Shuttlepod for the first time. So welcome,
Woo-hoo,
John.
Yay!
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much, guys.
John is a new writer for TrekMovie.com, and he's a longtime Star Trek fan. He's got a lot of good thoughts about the franchise, so let's talk about what we're going to see in Star Trek Beyond.
First off, though, we're recording this on July 11th, and we did just want to take a minute to recognize Anton Yelchin and express our condolences, not just to you as fans, but of course to his family and friends. What a tragedy for him to die so suddenly and bizarrely, so young in life. That guy who just had limitless potential was beautifully cast as young Chekhov, the Russian whiz kid. Very sad for everyone involved with the production, I'm sure, and we just wanted to recognize that. Star Trek Beyond will be dedicated to him, and that's obviously not the same as being able to have him there at the premiere and for him to continue with whatever would happen after this, but that is still a very nice gesture. So, on that note, I want to say none of us knows anything about the movie. None of us has any spoiler information where we found any kind of script that's leaked online or some secret illegal Chinese website that has been rebroadcasting a version of this that we've had to decipher with our universal translator. All we know, what we're going to do is I'm going to read what we see on the IMDb page in terms of the plot summary. Then we're going to go into each of our thoughts for this in our small beyond Shuttlepod here. So the IMDb page says, the USS Enterprise crew explores the furthest reaches of uncharted space where they encounter a new ruthless enemy who puts them and everything the Federation stands for to the test. You read that, and that's very much... No, that's just trailer fodder.
That's boilerplate.
Yeah. That could be every movie ever in the last 10 years. So
absolutely.
You scroll down, you scroll down a little bit farther, and under storyline, it says, the first leg of the USS Enterprise's five-year mission takes them into uncharted territory. There, the Enterprise is nearly destroyed and strands Kirk and his crew on a remote planet with no means of communication. Kirk must then work with the elements to reunite his crew and get back to Earth.
I have to make the same comment that I made a little bit earlier about the nearly destroyed part from everything that we've seen from the trailers. I think that's a bit of an understatement.
Do you think they're actually going to destroy the Enterprise?
It's completely annihilated.
I don't think she's salvageable.
Yeah.
And they've said straight up, people have said in interviews, and we've had plenty of fodder about this back and forth, that the Enterprise will be destroyed. Justin Lin said that he wanted to do something bold, I believe was the word he used, and that bold choice was to do something, unfortunately, that's been done several times before, which is to destroy the Enterprise.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. As one wise man said, there are plenty of letters left in the alphabet.
Indeed.
Indeed.
So how early into the movie do we think the Enterprise will be destroyed? Is this going to be in the first act?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd say in the first 10 minutes.
First
of the movie.
10 minutes.
Now, I'm actually hoping it's going to be a little bit further in because, we've seen in interviews that they're talking about the fact that they're traveling to the Starbase Yorktown. They've been, I think they're about 2 or 3 years into their five-year mission. They've just negotiated a peace treaty between two warring planets, and they're sort of going in for some R&R at the Yorktown before they're set off on the mission to the planet where they go ahead and encounter Krall and the Enterprise gets attacked. So I think that's where we see the scenes from the trailers and the TV spots where McCoy and Kirk are talking in his quarters and whatnot. So I hope there's a bit of character development, because one thing that they've really focused on is the stress of long-term space travel and the fact that the Enterprise is on one of these sort of very experimental missions going out into deep space beyond the limits of the Federation to explore, make first contact, and how taxing that is on the crew members. And I personally, I really don't want to see it just to be Kirk and or McCoy who's dealing with it, but everyone on the ship, all of our main characters.
Yeah, I think we will get to see a little bit, at least of an, at very least, a little bit of an introduction back into the lives of the characters. But we got to see, and what I wrote up for Trek Movie, what I got to see at the Beyond event at Paramount is the scene at the appears to be at the beginning of the film where they're aboard the Enterprise, and it sort of shows it's a captain's log by Captain Kirk overlaid on the crew sort of going about their daily business, and it's him talking about how they're out here in a deep part of space. They've been away from home for a long time. This is starting to take a toll on the characters, and it's sort of a day in the life scene that we get a little bit of a glimpse into the day in the life of each of the crew members. And then, of course, there's the scene between that you mentioned, John, between Kirk and Bones, which is apparently on the Enterprise, where they talk about the death of Kirk's father, hearkening back to Star Trek 2009. So there's at least some bit of substantial character development, I guess you'd call it, at the beginning of the film, but how long that's going to last, I think. I probably guess that we're going to get to the destruction of the Enterprise pretty quickly, as Brian. I'd probably be closer to Brian's estimate, I think. I'd say maybe 15 minutes.
Well, I think that might be a little too soon in terms of everything they've got to fit in there, because what I would love to see, in contrast to the previous two films, is an open from that, you know, lovely Michael Giacchino music to a captain's log and sort of the day-to-day things that you were talking about there, Kayla. That scene, you know, a couple more character interactions. They arrive at the Yorktown. Clearly there has to be a conversation with the Federation, I think, High Commissioner there, played by Shira Agadushulu. I'm really looking forward to seeing what she brings to the film, actually. I think she's a fantastic actress.
She is pretty amazing, and well done on the pronunciation.
Yeah, you are knocking these out of the park here.
Very good.
Like I said, you know, I'm an Arabist, and that doesn't quite include the Persians, but I know how to pronounce their names as well. So,
well done.
Thank you.
All right, so we get a glimpse of the crew and their daily life. The Enterprise is destroyed at some point, somewhere in the beginning of the film. You know, then what happens? Where the crew, we see them eject from the Enterprise as everything's being destroyed around them. They crash land, supposedly on an alien planet. Of course, at some point, we have to meet our new heroine, Jayla, who I'm very excited about. But now I'm interested in this IMDb thing that you said, Jared, about the quote from the IMDb page about how they have to use the elements to win the day, basically. Does Captain Kirk become the Avatar? Like, what's happening?
I assume that there will be, you know, there's two ways to look at it. One, it could just be whoever wrote this sees the scene where they're in with a bunch of rocks, and it's like, oh, well, you know, he's stranded in the elements. The other thing is they could do some kind of protracted arena reference where he needs to jury-rig some kind of weapon.
A rudimentary lathe.
Yeah, from whatever rough resources he has around him. It could be either.
That would be very cool, actually.
That would be extremely cool. I would accept that. Especially if Krall is actually a Gorn, because we don't know what species he is.
Oh my god, what if Krall is a Gorn?
Actually, Idris Elba came out in an interview with a British newspaper and said that he was not a Gorn, that the writers went ahead and created a brand new species for him. Now, we do know, with the bitter taste in our mouths from the Khan rumors and all of that, that, you know, they could be messing with us, but I think they realize that that's not something they can pull one over on us anymore.
No. I don't think they would make that mistake again.
Nope.
That hurt them pretty badly.
Yeah.
It's also my understanding that this movie is going to make almost no reference whatsoever that Into Darkness even ever happened.
Really?
That makes kind of me, for one, very happy.
And if I could just touch on that for a second, not Into Darkness in particular, but, You know, I was really excited by Star Trek 2009 and the fact that they created a new sandbox for the Star Trek universe so that they weren't tied down with the previous canon. Now, a lot of people didn't like that. They thought it really overrode everything, but I think it really allowed them to go ahead and do daring things like destroying Vulcan and things that you would not expect. And I think what really disappointed me about Into Darkness is the fact that it rested on the laurels of things that had come before in Star Trek. So when I heard a lot of stuff about this movie being something that breaks away from the mold of the previous film, starts out with brand new species, things like that, a brand new problem to deal with, even though, you know, like we said, the IMDb explanation for the plot line is a little generic and it's something we've seen before. That really makes me excited because the idea with Star Trek, it's not like one of these comic book movies that, you know, like it's not like Spider-Man where we have to go ahead and explain Peter Parker's origins every single time we get a new Peter Parker. We don't have to explain the origins of the crew and the Enterprise every single time and then have them go through these seminal events in their history. We can go ahead and set them out on new missions and new voyages that are completely different than anything that happened before. So that was one of my disappointments about Into Darkness, but also one of the things I'm looking forward to with Beyond.
Beyond looks more like the original series than any of the the three movies. Like it feels it has that right vibe to it. I can't explain it.
In terms of like the character interactions?
Yeah, the character interactions. It just feels more. It feels more like the show did, and less like, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, I think I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me. One thing I'm looking forward to the most, it's probably the thing I'm so excited about in the film, is that Spock and McCoy end up stranded on the planet together.
Yes.
Yeah.
That to me is, I could care less probably about everything else going on. The Enterprise being destroyed. give me. Excellent scenes between Spock and McCoy. Because as I've been rewatching the original series here in the 50th anniversary year, you get such great interaction between the two characters and the back and forth, and especially watching The Wrath of Khan recently with the director's cut. It's fantastic. And you really look at what they did to McCoy in Into Darkness, and he became a running gag, you know, the scene on the bridge where Kirk has to tell him, stop using metaphors.
Okay, I'm going to jump ahead and use my Trek anecdote right now because I quoted one of his folksy metaphors to a girl from Tennessee at a party on Sunday, right?
Okay, nice. Let's hear it.
I said to her, you know, you're from the South, so you got to have all kinds of folksy metaphors. And she said, like what? And I said, like, well, you know, like that's like going Kentucky to the Kentucky Derby and leaving your prized stallion back at home. She's like, oh man, you know more folksy metaphors than I do. So I do need to appreciate that. I really like that. Also,
that's fantastic.
I want to say, I think the reason that we haven't really seen as much of the Kirk Spock McCoy triumvirate is they elevated Uhura to that status because I think they wanted to add a little bit more diversity in terms of having, you know, a person of color and having a woman more central to the action rather than just three guys who were all white guys. I think that was the reason haven't seen as much of McCoy in that role.
I'm happy with the thought behind that, elevating an African-American woman into a more central role. I don't know that it was executed the best. I think in a lot of ways Uhura is I don't want to say a sex object, but she's certainly an object of desire amongst the crew. I mean, she's, you know, and it's kind of okay at first where she's kind of being fought over a bit by, you know, Kirk is into her at first, but she's with Spock. But then in Into Darkness, she's basically just a vehicle for Spock to be, you know, mad about something.
I think the character's been poorly written since the beginning. So
yeah, so I'm hoping we get to see some more out of it this time, and that they downplay the relationship between her and Spock. Not because I don't think they should be together as characters, but because then her purpose of being in the movie is to be Spock's girlfriend,
and
that's not cool.
Her kind of completely intolerant girlfriend who doesn't understand that a relationship with an unemotional man will not be an emotional relationship.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That makes sense. Just, it's like, you know what you got into when you started dating this guy. I digress a little bit.
And I can just dissent from Kayla for a second when it comes to the excitement about Jayla. Because, you know, here we have this really awesome new alien who's totally badass, really just seemingly owns the scenes when she walks on stage, or walks onto the screen. But we have Uhura, and I don't want to see Jayla be elevated at the expense of developing Uhura into an even stronger character, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I agree. It's great to see. I'm excited to see Jayla because I think we need more people like that. But yeah. But there's no reason that, you know, one woman has to steal the spotlight from the other woman.
Totally.
No, of course not.
So it can be done right.
So if we sort of get back to it, you know, our crew's stranded together on the planet. You know, we have Spock and McCoy off together. Spock gets injured in somehow, so McCoy's very much responsible for his health and well-being. There could be a lot of great banter going on there. We have Sulu and Uhura together. They seem to get captured by Krall's forces very soon after they land. And Chekhov and Kirk, and I'm a little confused by some of the previews. You know, we see Kirk, you know, take one of the Kelvin pods, as they're called now, the escape pods, off the bridge, as he's headed off of the sinking ship, and then we see them up inside the Enterprise again, and then blasting their way through the view screen, and you know, sliding down the saucer section. So I know that there were some reshoots, and I'm not sure if maybe Kirk and Chekhov are gonna end up going down with the ship, because obviously the Krall's forces do end up on board. And
wait, when you say go down with the ship, do you mean that they'll die? You think they'll die?
Oh, no. I mean, oh, okay, go down with the saucer.
Wow, that is a very bold prediction that you just said very casually.
Right? Kirk's just going to die.
No, just go down with the saucer section because of the...
No, important distinction.
Because of the battles that were going on, because it seems that besides just, you know, ramming the Enterprise with hundreds, if not thousands, of those tiny little ships, they're boarding at the same time. So
yeah, you see Krall holding him up by just his hand, choking Kirk, and it looks like he's in the corridor of the Enterprise. Yeah.
So I think one thing that's interesting too, in terms of the pairing off of characters, and then of course you have Scotty eventually meeting up with Jayla, and then probably finding the Franklin, which we can get to in a little bit, is that, you know, geography is going to play a factor in this as well. It doesn't always in the Kelvin timeline, because people can traverse very, very far distances in a matter of seconds. and it could be on a motorbike or, you know, hobbling along as injured Spock. But I think that would be very interesting to see. And I'm hoping to see a little bit of ingenuity when it comes to bringing our main players back together as one. You know, how do they all communicate with one another and converge on the same location, presumably the USS Franklin? And how did they find out about it? Is that why they're there in the first place? Because maybe the Franklin was a lot like Enterprise was, the NX-01, heading out to, you know, explore the galaxy, new species and things like that, make first contact, and got and crashed out here, was never heard from again, and Starfleet's just getting around to looking after them. Who knows?
Okay, so you mentioned the NX-01, and a question I wanted to ask is, what obscure references to Trek lore do you think that they'll make? Right? Uh-oh. That they haven't already. And I'm going to interject what I hope. You mentioned the NX-01. I hope at some point someone uses the expression polarize the hull plating, right? Because the NX-01 didn't have shields. And I've always thought, like, you know, if they're down out, the shields don't work. It's like, oh, what can we do? Well, on old-timey ships, they polarize the hull plating. So that's my hope. Anyway.
And from what we've heard about the Franklin, she's actually a predecessor of what the NX-01 would be. It's only a Warp 4 starship.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So, it wouldn't have the shield technology. So that would be a very interesting thing. But also, it sort of gives you this question, you know, if the big bad flagship of the fleet, you know, Constitution class Enterprise, can get torn apart by these small little things. How is the Franklin with no shields going to fare? Very interesting.
I have some thoughts on, you know, why the Franklin is there and what the deal is going to be basically going down on the planet. And this is just totally speculation and guessing. But I think that what they're going to do is they're going to crash land on this planet, and they will find a crew of the Franklin that's been stranded there, or evidence that the crew of the Franklin had been stranded there and had been crash landed on this planet. And there's going to be some kind of indentured servitude thing going on. Like, they're going to be using them for probably a mine or something like that. So they're gathering up all these people and they're forcing them to work. When they get down to the planet, they're all going to be separated, as John was saying, probably by quite a big distance. And the whole bulk of the movie is going to be them trying to find their way back to each other, maybe using the elements to their advantage.
and making the movie more of an ensemble piece, too.
Exactly. So you can see what's happening over here with Kirk and Chekhov, and what's happening over here with Bones and Spock. And then finally they all get back together at the end, and they're like, all right, you know, here's what we have. We're all together again. Here are the resources we have. We have this old crash-landed ship, the Franklin. What can we do with this? And that's going to be the climax of the film, when they get out of there and kick everyone's butt. So that's my main prediction, which is my most sort of speculative prediction.
And I agree with you, Kayla. I think there's going to be something with indentured servitude, slave labor, something like that going on. Something that is completely opposite the values of the Federation. And that's where in all of the interviews that have come up and they're talking about Krall, we know that he is making us as an audience question the values of the Federation. You know, are the values of the Federation good for everyone out there? And I think it's a very good allegory to maybe the past two decades or so, or certainly the Afghan war, the Iraq war, and the idea of bringing democracy to cultures around the world that perhaps have different value sets. And I think that's going to be the big sort of sci-fi allegory that's going on here in this movie, which I very much appreciate. But I am very curious
I will say, I love the line, I'm just interject, I love the line in the trailer where he says, and I don't even know if it's in the movie, where he says, this is where the final frontier pushes back.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that kind of reminds me of, there's a scene in the first episode of Deep Space Nine where Julian is all excited, where he says, I'm so happy to be out here practicing medicine in the wilderness. Kira says,
frontier medicine. Yeah.
That's
right. And Kira says, this wilderness is my home. Like, what's strange to you is commonplace to someone else, right? And that's where the conflict will come.
I just watched that last night. That is such a great point. And I think even if you look at other films in the series, like Star Trek VI, for instance, that really makes you question the view of the Federation. You know, when they talk about human rights, and Azad Bor says, oh, can you even hear yourself talking about inalienable human rights? It's almost like it's a Homo sapiens only club. Mm-hmm. So I really like the idea of examining the Federation from the outside.
Okay, I have a little anecdote I need to share. Okay, so I had a little. I went through. I was looking at the IMDb page. I went through some of the actors on there to see if they had any a connection to Trek otherwise, right? If there's somebody who'd been brought back, you know, the way like Will Wheaton did some of the voice work for the Romulans in the 2009, and there's an actress on here named Fiona Vroom, who is listed as playing a green girl, right? Which we assume is an Orion female. And I looked her up, and she actually played an Orion female on the second episode of Star Trek Continues called Lalani, right? And as far as I know, you know, with the green girl is indeed an Orion, this is the first example of someone in a fan production being promoted to, like, an actual full-on canonical movie where she's playing the same kind of the same character.
That's fantastic.
That is cool. I didn't notice that.
The only other example of someone... well, and this is sort of a slightly different thing. But Chris Doohan
also
plays in Star Trek Continues, and he was in the last film as well. So.
Yeah.
And I believe he's back for this one, too.
Excellent.
He has a little bit of a pedigree that most people can't compete with, though.
It's true. No, for sure. Like Indeed. I said, it's a bit of a different thing because he's Chris Doohan. But.
Sure.
Right.
But congratulations to Fiona Vroom.
Looking forward to seeing her.
So the big question that I have is sort of, I think I know maybe the first half an hour of the film, and after that, it's complete just guesswork, as Kayla was saying before. Mm-hmm.
We kind of know the end, right?
I do love that. I absolutely do. And we've seen stuff in the trailer where apparently there's a battle going on at Starbase Yorktown. We don't know when in the film that occurs. You know, the Franklin ends up going to Starbase Yorktown. When that happens, vis-a-vis the battle, who knows? What's the real climax of the film going to be? What do you think?
I have no idea.
You know, the thing that reminds me of when you say this is First Contact, how you went into it and you assumed, okay, well, the climax will be some huge space battle with the Borg that they couldn't have done because of limitations of the budget on the TV show. And instead, they do the big space battle in the first 5 minutes, and then everything else after that is like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this at all. And that the climax of the movie is two guys shake hands, right? Just fantastic that way they play on the idea of what you think is going to be a big deal is not the big deal, but actually this little tiny thing is the much, much bigger deal because this is the birth of the Federation right here.
I hope it's something like that. I hope that's great. What this film does. Yeah. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I think it might. Instead of having the climax, like I say, be a big battle, it could be something more poetic.
And I hope that poetry involves a certain letter of the alphabet.
Oh. You mean like John DeLancey? Is that what you're talking about?
No. A.
Oh, I was like, he could either mean Q or A.
That was my next thing I was going to bring up. That was what I was going to bring up next. What do we think is going to happen in regards to what is clearly going to be another Enterprise?
I don't know that they have to tell us what the next Enterprise is going to be. They can warp into the sunset in the Franklin and end the movie there and just be like
Generations did kind of.
And just be like, well, you know, when we start the next film, the first scene is going to be the refit or whatever.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah,
although it would be cool to see it in this movie,
and then we get a little hint of, you know, Star Trek III, Star Trek IV flying around in a ship that, you know, we're unfamiliar with, sort of temporarily because our ship got destroyed. But I sort of would I love starships, and I really want to see what the next evolution is, whether it's the same exact design as the Kelvin timeline Constitution class, or it's something a little bit different, a little bit more advanced. The one thing I will say I'm disappointed about when it comes to this ship, you know, a lot of fans have been talking about the fact that the trailer has shown the destruction of the Enterprise, and they really aren't feeling much about it, because it's not like in Star Trek III, where this is the refit of the Enterprise that we've had around for 25 years. At least in the canon, and that's a huge thing. That's a character that you're knocking off. Here we have an Enterprise that in Into Darkness she didn't even fire a shot. It's a frail little thing, and I'm really hoping for a much better ship. Obviously she gets her butt kicked once again in a battle. So hopefully something that they maybe could survive a little bit better out there on the final frontier, because it hasn't been going very well with that one.
But what they need to do is they need to add a third nacelle and then a big cannon underneath the saucer section. I think that's the future that we need to see.
All right, so since we are coming up, we're running short on time here. Before we go, I want to force all of you, myself included, to make some predictions, and we're going to see who's right next week. So, well, first one that Brian brought up, his prediction, you can change this now if you want, was that the Enterprise will be destroyed within the first 10 minutes of the film. I want everyone to say when they how long do you think the Enterprise will last?
I will bet 11 minutes.
Oh.
Sorry. It's strategy. But then if someone bets
I'm going to revise my estimates. Like, I'm sorry, no, Jared.
But then if someone bets 12 minutes, then I'm really locked in.
I'll revise mine slightly to say 15.
I'm going to go with a half an hour.
Wow.
I think I was kind of leaning towards 15 as well, but for the sake of the discussion here, I'm going to go with 20. So we've got 11, 15, 20, and 30 minutes. We'll see who's right.
All right.
And then the next one is, will we see the next iteration of the Enterprise in this film?
Yes. Yeah.
I say yes as well.
John?
I hope so.
I'm going to say no. Not that I don't want it to happen. That's just my guess that we won't see it.
It would be a good tease for the next movie. So
it's true.
So you.
Maybe I'll be totally wrong. I really don't know on this one.
Will there be any surprise cameos in this?
Yes.
Okay. Who do you think it'll be?
Oh, I have to guess who.
Okay, I'm gonna guess Walter Koenig, some kind of little aside to the audience about his successor, right? About the Anton Yelchin. I think there might be a Walter Koenig reference there. Having said that,
I think it might be a little late for the Anton Yelchin's death might have happened a little too late for that.
That's completely just the emotional part of me talking. There's no way it's gonna be that.
Yeah.
Also, no one is going to look at that and say, oh, hey, that's the first guy who played Chekhov. If they're going to have a reference to somebody, it'll be somebody more significant, like Patrick Stewart as an admiral at the end who winks at someone.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do any giant cameos like that, because big cameos like that tend to take people out of the movie.
Yeah, I was thinking a small cameo, like, sort of the way Stan Lee is in all of his movies.
Yeah.
It's like something, a little tiny thing that not even everyone will notice. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking will happen.
So we might not notice Brandon Braga popping up somewhere.
There you go, yeah. Iris Stephen Bear, he's easy to identify.
Ron Moore.
Yeah, exactly. I personally don't want it. I think with the way it was handled in the last film, you know, the phone a friend sequence.
Who wants to be a space millionaire?
But
Leonard
Nimoy, fresh from his living room.
Yeah.
What about the Chris Duhem's cameo? I'm cool with that.
Oh yeah, absolutely, because he's an established character. You know, he's
right. He's been in the other two movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
if they have some random ensign walk by in the background and it's Ronald D. Moore, I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, I don't either. But if it's giving lines to a former Star Trek cast member for the sake of it, as the former powers that be said, as a Valentine to the fans, I don't think that works.
I agree 100%.
What a disappointing Valentine.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I think the one thing I'm hoping for the most, which I think it's pretty certain that we will hear it dealt with, is a discussion of Spock, of sort of Prime Universe Spock, and that
as
will
an
be
homage to Leonard.
Absolutely, and they had enough time to write that into the script and have Kelvin timeline Spock sort of deal with it.
You know, there's this really nice and it was unintentional. But in the James Bond movie, I believe it's The World Is Not Enough, there's this little moment where Bond bids farewell to Q, the actor Desmond Llewellyn, who'd been playing him for 45 years or something at that point. And they were just, bidding him farewell and saying, we need to get some new blood here. And then the actor died right before the movie came out, so it turned out to be perfect timing. It's very tasteful, nice little send-off, so maybe they could do something like that.
All right, well, in the interest of time, unless anyone else has any other pressing ideas that they want to get off their chest before next week, it's the last chance.
Let me just throw in one other question.
Okay.
Since this is a new timeline and anything is on the table, Will we see anything, any major, just jaw-dropping events occur in this film, like the destruction of Vulcan?
I don't think so.
Well, I think the destruction of the Enterprise will be what they do.
Yeah, I think that nothing like the destruction of Vulcan. I mean, I hope there are big jaw-dropping scenes, but nothing like, oh my god, I can't believe they changed that.
Yeah,
I think that they need to get to right the ship with this movie, and they're not going to push the envelope too hard.
Yeah, I sort of feel the same. It's not going to be anything huge. I don't think any of the main casts are going to die off or anything like that.
All right.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up. Thanks, everyone, for participating. Again, we dropped our Trek anecdote in the middle of this with the Kentucky Derby reference.
Which is very apt. I'm glad you did
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you. I was delighted. And now I used to live my life with, like, okay, you know, something from Star Trek is inserted into my life, and then I can share it with you guys. And now it's like, wait, what can I do to insert Star Trek into my life so I have something to talk about on the podcast?
Awesome. All right, so Star Trek Beyond comes out next week.
Yeah, we've got nine. Everyone, the ticker says 9 days.
Nine more sleeps. Nine more sleeps.
Nine more sleeps until Star Trek Beyond. Everyone go out and see it. Go and see it in IMAX. Go and see it in the Barco Escape format. Go and see it in your favorite movie theater and tell us what you think. We can't wait to see it. We'll see how many of our predictions come true. And, of course, we're going to be talking about ideas about what we liked about the film, what we didn't like about the film, and how many of our predictions did come true on an upcoming podcast right after the debut. We will be at the premiere at San Diego Comic-Con this coming Wednesday. So you'll be watching Trek Movie for news as soon as that event is happening. And we will see you guys next time. Thanks for listening to the Shuttle Pod.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a great time with the movie, guys.
Enjoy.